Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, boys and girls, we are heading on top of that bewitching hour, aren't we, huh? Here it is, October 29th, and we're coming into the high holiday of Satan. If you missed yesterday's show, you got to go back and watch that, because we did an expose on Halloween yesterday. And, you know, I was always one of those guys that said, oh, come on, dude. You Christians can't have any fun. And, you know, we're just getting candy and wearing goblins and putting up pumpkins. And some of that was laid to waste yesterday. So if you get a chance, go back and watch that. It is sad, isn't it, that the enemy has seized almost every infiltrated every area of American life, hasn't he? And such a hard time trying to wake people up and understand exactly what's going on.
Amen. So,
I'm excited today. We have Pastor Sharam Hayden from the Patriot Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, who has an unbelievable story about his wife is pregnant. She got what they call COVID, whatever that means. He had to take her to the hospital, give birth. What a story. We're going to get to that here in just a second, I promise. But a little bit of housekeeping before we get into it. Remember, brave.com. We're going to do a test Monday after the show because we're looking to change platforms. Brave.com. Go there and download that browser. Pastor Hayden said he actually already has been using that browser. I'm not sure. Is there a $7 a month fee on? I couldn't figure that whole thing out. Whatever it is, let's stop feeding Google. Let's stop feeding this monster, right? We have to be selective in what we're going to do with our dollars. And before I bring up Pastor Hayden in, I want to get to our imprecatory psalms. I don't want to get to the end of the show and have to all of a sudden, it's brave. Thank you, Craig. I don't have to get to the end of the show and try to jam them in there real quickly. So I'd like to get to our psalms coming right out of the top. Are we in Psalm 109 and 129 today? Would that be right? Somebody help me. I'm looking at my computer here, 70 and 79 yesterday. I think we did. Would somebody be willing to read Psalm 109? Anybody out there have that psalm today? No? Yes? Somebody? Silver, we can count on you if you're out there.
Get it,
you got it? Who said that?
Kathleen,
you're up, man. All right. You're it, Kathleen. Psalm 109. And folks, remember, read this as a prayer. Read this as a prayer, not just as a – read it as a prayer. Go ahead, Kathleen, if you would. Thank you.
I'll get it up here.
It's on our screen if you need it.
Okay. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against
me. Boy, are they ever.
They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred,
yep,
and fought against me without a cause.
They have.
For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer, and they have rewarded me evil for good and
yep,
hatred for my love.
Amen.
Set a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand.
Yes, sir.
When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin.
Yes.
Let his days you and let another take his office.
Yes, Lord. We pray that towards Joe Biden this morning. Let his days be few and let another take his office.
Yes, Lord.
Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow.
Yes, thank you.
Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he has.
Grab it, Lord.
Let strangers steal his labor.
Yes, Lord.
Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children.
Thank you, Lord. Go get him, Lord. Sick him.
Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out.
Blot out their name, Lord.
Let the iniquity
of his father takes it up the butthole.
And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth.
Wow.
Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart.
Get him, Lord. Sick him, Lord.
So let it come unto him, as he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually.
Amen.
Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads.
Yes.
O Lord my God, O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice.
Let them be ashamed, Lord.
Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude.
Yes.
For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul.
Yes, as Pharaoh said, amen. So let it be written, so let it be done. Amen. Amen.
God bless.
Amen on that one.
Amen, Mrs. Burkhart.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 129 is up. Who's going to read Psalm 129 for us today?
Amen. I'll read that sucker.
Okay, Vinny, you go for it, brother.
Psalm 129. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me.
No, they haven't.
The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows.
Yeah.
The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion.
Amen. Those that hate America and those that hate Christianity and those that hate the church, Lord, let them all be confounded.
Let them all be as the grass upon the housetops, which weareth. Forest groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
No, they don't say that, do they, Vinny? No. Lord, no. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we do dwell under the secret place of the Most High, and you are our defender. And Lord, we ask right now that in the mighty name of Jesus, you would bring the wicked down in Jesus' name. Hey, Spencer, pull up there to Patriot Church Knoxville real quickly. Pastor Sharam Hadian, Knoxville. I don't know if you guys know, there's a Patriot Church movement going across America. Started out in Washington State. And there's several. How many different Patriot campuses are there now, Pastor?
Well, we have four campuses right now. Two in Washington State, one in Virginia, and then the Knoxville one. And then there's probably another couple, two or three that are going to be coming on online soon, joining the movement.
God bless Pastor Ken Peters, who's started the church at Planned Parenthood and. I believe it's Spokane, Washington,
and that
movement is also beginning to expand. So we appreciate you, Pastor. We want you to be able to talk about that. Now, I really have Pastor Hadian on with us today because he personally, folks, went through an unbelievable experience in his own life. This is, folks, this is all stuff's going to start hitting home. All of it is. We can't run and hide anymore. We have to stand and fight. All right. The righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. So the righteous need to arise. Arise, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Let's go here, man. So Pastor Hadian, his wife was pregnant and on the verge of giving birth to his fourth child, Pastor, fifth child, which one?
Sixth child.
I used to be good in math. Sixth child.
That's okay.
And they told him, Pastor, I'm not a big COVID guy because I think COVID's 2 years old. This is something new, maybe that's going around, right? But whatever they called it, they called it COVID, and his wife was in some serious danger, and they said, get her in here, and Pastor, pick it up from there, and tell us the story, brother.
Well, we were just to back up, just a quick step. We were planning on having a home birth. You know, our last three, our first two, we had had in the hospital years ago, which is a very different experience than today. But we were planning on having our fourth child at home, or the fourth home birth, I should say. You know, being the sixth pregnancy, there's always a chance for some complications. But we had found a midwife. Well, we were planning on doing that, but my wife started getting sick, and we suspected that could it be this bioweapon, or like you said, a variation of this bioweapon that they have unleashed on us. I started her because we have some great people in our area, a lot of freedom fighters, and we are actually working on a coalition of doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners. So we had some folks, we got her on some protocol, which is, you know, I want to encourage people. It's very important, obviously, to make sure that your immunity is strong. She was on, you know, high dose vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. We started on hydroxychloroquine because of the pregnancy. Our nurse practitioner didn't want to put on ivermectin. So we were dealing with the possibility that if she caught this thing called COVID, but because of the pregnancy and because she had already been having some problems breathing with the baby, she started developing this fluid buildup, which, of course, when she eventually went into the hospital, which we were trying to avoid at all costs. If it was not for the pregnancy, we had already had oxygen prescribed from our nurse practitioner. We would have had her at home. But because of the pregnancy and because our midwife was basically, hey, if you have the possibility of COVID, we don't want to deliver at home. You're going to have to go into the hospital. And in this area, the only hospital that would deal with supposedly high-risk pregnancies was University of Tennessee Medical Center. So we made the decision finally when she got to the point she was having a hard time with her oxygen, we're going to have to go in. But we actually went to our local hospital here in our county to see if maybe they would be able to deal with her there. We had a little better experience there than with a major hospital system. They tested her there. They did an x-ray. And as you know, Coach Dave, they label this thing COVID pneumonia.
But how far along is she in the pregnancy, Pastor?
So she's 36 and a half weeks along at this point. And just so you know, all of our kids have been born, you know, without inducing them around mid 37 and a half. I think our latest went 38 weeks. So we're not too far off. But as I said, we were very close. But now this is complicating things. She's going on day 10, day 11. And I begin to call these hospitals before we even think about going in to find out, okay, what's their COVID policy? How are they treating people coming in? Are they allowing somebody to come in with the person? This is very critical, people understand.
Because folks, you need an advocate.
You have to have someone there because we've all heard the stories of people going in, being in trouble. They get sedated. All of a sudden, before you know, they're on a ventilator. And so when I had called and I had checked, none of the hospitals wanted to touch her because of the pregnancy. So they said, no, you got to go to University of Tennessee. But we still went to our county hospital hoping that maybe they'd deal with her there. But the moment they did the x-ray and they did the test and it came back positive for, again, whatever this new variant that they've unleashed on us is, they said, oh, you have COVID pneumonia. And the moment they label this, now, Coach, I want, again, I'm not a medical expert, but I've talked with enough of our medical people here who have dealt with COVID patients to understand that there is no such thing as COVID pneumonia.
Amen. Amen.
What there is fluid buildup. This is a bloodborne attack. This thing that they have with all these spike proteins are attacking your blood, causing this inflammation, causing this, as you know, also, of course, with the shots, all of the clotting. Well, I'm of the opinion that what we're seeing now, obviously a big factor, this is some sort of either a release of a mutation or something that has come from vax people, from those who've already gotten.
Brother, you are on the same page. I just want you to know we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're talking to a friendly crew here.
You got it. So, but regardless, you know, we're in this situation. We have no choice. Our midwives kind of bailed on us. Because, you know, I still was under the impression that, look, I think we can manage this at home. Well, I have medical professionals that can come and help. We can get our oxygen, but our midwives bailed on us. So we kind of have no choice. So now, as we went to the first hospital, they end up calling, and I made the doctor there call ahead to the UT Medical Center and said, make sure that her husband can come in with her. Okay, we're good. I had called them on the labor and delivery, got their policy, we're good. So they ambulance her over. In fact, I had to sign her out because she was struggling with her oxygen and breathing. So she was not very coherent at times. So I signed her out. They ambulance her. By the time I get to UT Medical Center, they've already taken her up. They wouldn't let me on the ambulance. So now I have to drive separately. I get there. I go into the front door, which they have this security check-in. And they pull me aside and say, yeah, your wife is here, but we've been told you are not able to go into the hospital. So now I'm obviously very upset. And I said, this is absolutely not happening. We already called ahead. We know your policy. You're in violation of your policy. They had told me that as long as I go in and test negative, that I can stay with her. So this ensues a conversation where I asked to talk to the hospital administrator. I called a friend of mine who's a state senator here in Tennessee. He advised me to call, talk to their ethics people. I'm getting calls now from some of our freedom fighters here in Tennessee. I get on a phone with a friend of mine who's advising me, their lawyer, they had a lawyer in their organization, is advising them for me to tell my wife immediately that they need to transfer medical power of attorney. So if anybody out there is listening to this and you even think that you may go in, you got to get your ducks in a row and get ordered. You got to understand whatever state you're in, you got to find out what their policies are. In the state of Tennessee, I found out it's only verbal. So as long as she gives a verbal power of attorney. But when I'm having this conversation, they're getting very agitated with me. I was actually relatively calm. I was emotional. My voice was breaking because I'm almost in tears because we had been, already fighting this, and she had not gotten a lot of sleep for a number of days. But probably about 20 minutes in, they call security on me because I said, I'm not leaving this hospital. I'm either going to leave with my wife or you're going to let me in. And they kick me out of the hospital. Security escorts me outside. There's nowhere to sit. And I'm sitting outside on the phone now with these people. So fortunately, I was able to call my wife. She was lucid at that point. They had her in triage. And they're telling me all sorts of stories. Well, you can't go in the triage. Maybe you can go into the room once we get into a room. We're not really sure. And I'm not taking maybe. So this starts this process where it took 5.5 hours of me outside. I called her on the phone, coach. I did get her to verbally tell them that they're transferring medical power of attorney, which kind of cooled their heels because they had already come in and they were triaging her. And I was so concerned that they were going to put her on medication or this protocol that most of us have heard these stories. We got to live it firsthand. But I'm on the phone now with the hospital patient advocate. We're ready to storm this hospital. I got people ready to, it says, we're going to come down here in front of that hospital and protest.
Amen, brother, break down those doors. Yeah, that's right.
So, because again, my attitude was whatever happens, I'm not leaving my wife alone here in this hospital. I'm either going to be with her or I'm going to take her out and we're going to figure out something else because we cannot leave these patients alone. There's too many people that are going in. And I've heard so many of these stories, coach, where, you know, they just need a little oxygen. They just need a little help. And then we leave them alone. We follow these policies that are completely arbitrary. And by the way, again, This is what I'm trying to tell you, is that they're violating their own policy, because there's nothing in their policy that said you can't be in the triage.
But no matter what, Pastor, there's really no place for you to turn to, right? I mean, you are exercising your legal rights, and they don't care.
They don't care. No. And all I was able to do in those 5.5 hours was trying to put pressure. I said, we have a lawyer standing that we're going to put an injunction against the hospital. We got 50 to 100 people that are going to be in front of this hospital protesting. We're going to call the media. I mean, I'm doing everything that I can.
How did you not throw some chairs?
Well, there weren't any chairs to throw because they kicked me outside, and literally I'm sitting on the concrete. There was no seating. There was nothing outside the front door of this hospital other than just sitting on the concrete. And thank God for a couple of our Patriot friends who came, believers who came with us, and they were standing with me outside the hospital just to pray with me. We had a lot of people start praying. So finally, they agree, okay, we're going to let you up. They move her into a room. Now I go up to the room. When they finally agreed to let me in, they do their little swab up my nose, which was whatever. And now we're trying to figure out what's going on with her, because we had made a decision that, okay, we think it's best to induce her so she can deliver this baby. But now they're telling me crazy things like, well, because of her breathing, if we have to do a C-section on her, we're going to have to intubate her and put her on a ventilator.
Oh, my goodness.
What? What are you talking about? And then I said, well, how long before you extubate her or bring her out? Well, minimum 5 days, but it could be a week to 2 weeks.
So they wanted maybe we're going to put her on a ventilator for 5 days up to 2 weeks?
Correct. Because of the fact that they were claiming that because she was having a hard time breathing. Well, part of the reason we knew she was having a hard time breathing was because of the pregnancy. Because one, she's sharing oxygen with the baby has a load, obviously, that there's a need there. Two, the baby is pushing up on her lungs, and there was that bottom, because I actually saw her x-ray, and I demanded to see her x-ray, and the x-ray was, there was this kind of glassy fluid. It's not pneumonia, where you have the lungs light up. It's fluid buildup. And now they're already starting to talk to us about, well, we got to get her on remdesivir. And we
had
absolutely no. We do not want her on a ventilator. We do not want her on a remdesivir. The other thing that our nurse practitioner advised us was also Tylenol, because apparently Tylenol has something that it takes, this glutathione or something it takes out of your system, which is immune building. So we had given, since now I have medical power of attorney, right? She's transferred that over to me. I'm giving them instructions, but they're fighting me on every turn, pushing. And meanwhile, we decided, you know, we're going to start the labor. They're going to sort of induce the labor by breaking her water and getting this going. And that took a number of many, many hours over the next day. But what I want to share with you is that it was very clear to me that, number one, they wanted to isolate patients. They don't want advocates there, Coach. They don't want people that are fighting for them. They don't want opposition. And number two, the elitism, the mentality that they are the experts, that how dare you question us, it was off the charts. And while there were a handful of good nurses and a couple of the doctors, particularly our OBGYN doctor there, that were very decent, and I think we're trying to do the best they could, the administration, the hospital administration. So at one point, when my wife is very, very close to getting finally close to delivery, they decide to come in. Oh, because here's the other thing I got to let you know. They said, well, here's our plan. After the baby's born, we're going to move her to the ICU or the COVID ward, but you can't go with her. I said, why can't I go with her? Well, because on that floor, you have to be vaccinated. What? On this floor, you have COVID patients, and you're saying that I just have to have a negative COVID test. But on that floor, I have to be vaccinated? What proof is there that vaccinated people have any more protection than unvaccinated people? They couldn't care about any of these questions.
Well, first of all, Pastor, you know way too much. The average person coming in there doesn't know any of this stuff, do they?
That's the problem. Again, people are falling in and perishing because they don't have the knowledge. They're not educating themselves. They're not preparing themselves. And if anything that I can share for people is that while we are working, and hopefully if we have time, Coach Dave, before we finish today, you know, I want to encourage people to be praying into, the Lord is moving right now for us to create our own
medical system. Dr. Sherry Timpenny, I don't know if you know that name at all.
Oh, yes.
She's a dear friend of mine, and we started an organization called The Christian Revolution. We're raising all kinds of money, and that's one of her goals, Pastor, is to start our own medical system.
That's right. That's right. We had a meeting at our home last night with various healthcare people here in our area, and what the Lord has laid on my heart on that front, and the one piece that I think is very critical, the Lord reminded me who started hospitals. Churches started hospitals, and therefore we need churches and believers to rise up again to start this system. And what
I'm sorry, Pastor. So churches started schools, churches started hospitals.
There you go.
Huh?
There you go.
And we're not allowed any of them anymore, right?
No, exactly. We've been kicked out of that system. The Lord is judging that system. That's the world system. I actually just gave a message to Patriot Church this last Sunday that I was outlining the difference between a demonic order and a divine order. And when we talk about these alternative systems, like we have obviously been in our Patriot movement, been advocating for Christian schools, churches to start up Christian schools. We are huge. We are homeschoolers. We have a huge homeschool co-op, and we're encouraging homeschool co-ops around the country. We have a model that we started here that is under the ministry of the church. It's not separated. It's actually a ministry of the church. So like you said, churches started schools and churches started hospitals. So the Lord is laying on our hearts that it's time to reclaim a divine order, those things that are belonging to the Lord. It's time to come out of Babylon and come in and prepare for ultimately, I think the Lord, you know, the Lord's return, we're hopefully preparing for soon one day to be in the kingdom of Christ and his return. So just quickly going back to my experience, what they're telling us is we're going to separate you guys. And had I not been there, they would have taken my baby to the NICU, even though she would have had nothing wrong with her, simply because my wife was COVID positive. And it didn't matter what level of care she needed. They were going to transfer her to the ICU or the COVID ward, not keep her on that floor. This was their plan. Wow. And this was a demonic plan.
Certainly money follows that diagnosis too, doesn't it, Pastor?
Absolutely. Because for the third time, when they came in, my wife is almost fully dilated, ready to give birth. Finally, after 21 hours of labor, they decide to come in and have a powwow. Because here's the other thing, Coach. They would not let me leave the hospital. They tell me, again, this was not policy. But they're saying, well, once you come in, we're not going to let you leave. Now, I got five kids at home. And I said, well, can you let me go for a couple hours, see them, and then come back? I'll get retested, whatever. No. If you leave, we can't let you come back because you could, you know, spread COVID to the world. And I said, my wife is 11 days past her onset of symptoms. Even according to your CDC, it's 10 days that then they're no longer contagious. So you're violating CDC protocol, but they said, if you go, we won't let you come back. So I had to make a decision. The Lord put on my heart, you will not leave this hospital without your wife and without your daughter. Thank God we have a family friend who came and dropped her life and came and took care of our kids for 5 days that I was battling in the hospital. But they come in and say, now here's the plan. We're going to separate you. And I said, why are you not going to keep us together? She's on a low level of oxygen. Well, we don't have the staffing, blah, blah, blah. I said, that's nonsense. I will be her nurse. I will be there in the room with her. Then they made the excuse about oxygen. Then they come up with this arbitrary, well, she's got to only be on this one guy comes in who's the hospital administrator for the labor and delivery. Completely soulless human being, Coach. Mm. Completely soulless human being. You can see it. This was a demonic encounter between me and him because I had prayed over that room. When I went into that room, I prayed over that room and I prayed, Lord, no unclean spirit in this room. Explode every unclean spirit. We were worshiping in that room because I'm going to take authority. We got to take authority where we go. And one of the things the Lord laid on my heart a few months past is we know this is all demonic fear that they're soaking. So when I go somewhere, I take authority in Jesus' name over fear. That Amen. We're not going to operate by fear. And that's what they were doing. They're operating out of fear and out of a demonic agenda.
Well, they're trying to throw the fear on you, Pastor.
That's right. And I wasn't going to go there, and my wife wasn't going to go there. And I can't tell you how many times they talked to us about preparing us for, well, if she has to be intubated, go on a ventilator. And I'm saying, why are you even talking to me? We're going to get her out of the hospital. I said, what I want you to plan is she's going to get better after the baby's born, and you're going to send us home with a little bit of oxygen, and then she's going to heal up. And I said, you're not going to separate. My wife, at 9 centimeters, almost delivering, she looks up, she lifts up her head, wags her finger at this soulless doctor and says, you're not separating me from my baby. I'll do whatever it takes to meet your arbitrary goal, which was completely arbitrary, this 2 liters of oxygen thing. But God did a miracle in that moment, because he also says to us, once the baby's born, and thank God the baby was born without the C-section, because again, remember I told you earlier what they were planning. Once the baby was born, you get 2 hours in this room, and then we're separating you. And unless you meet this arbitrary goal. Well, once the baby's born, she's able to breathe better. We're trying to get her oxygen down, but we're running out of time. So thank God for this nurse. There was a nurse there, I believe she was a believer, who had, you know, was taking care of us in that moment, who had heard this conversation in the room, because I wasn't allowed to leave the room. And we get to about 1 hour and 15, and we're trying to get my wife's oxygen level down. And she says to us, Coach, we said to her, hey, we only have like 45 minutes left, right? She goes, no, that's not accurate. I said, well, didn't you hear this guy? He said 2 hours and not a minute longer. She said, no, it's when I'm done with the room. That's when we move you. And Lord bless, she took her sweet time and made 2 hours into 4 hours, got extended time for us, which allowed my wife to bring her oxygen level down to this arbitrary 2 liters and only 90% whatever saturation, which is completely arbitrary, because the room that they moved this in together, thank God, had the capacity to have much higher oxygen. It's all an agenda to separate, isolate. And 3 times they pushed remdesivir on us. The third time, I gave them an earful. I said, you really want to know why I don't want remdesivir? Let me go through your Fauci studies. Let me tell you how remdesivir has killed 53% of people on the 2018 Ebola. So I'm giving them the earlobe, because they messed with the wrong person. And and I don't mean that in a facetious way. The Lord gave me the wherewithal and the recall. And so I'm just recalling all these things that I had read from all these studies. And this guy says to me, the same soulless doctor guy, and he says, well, anybody can find a study to back their point of view. And I said, dude, that's your study. That's your evil. I didn't say evil. I said, that's Fauci. That's the NIH. That's the CDC. Have you guys even bothered clicking these links and doing your own research when you're prescribing a drug that you've never used before that is shutting down people's kidneys, which then puts them, the last thing you want when you got fluid in your lungs is something that shuts down your kidneys. And this guy just looked at me with deer in headlights. And I said to him, Coach, I Lord is my witness. I said to him, there's a reckoning coming for you. There's a reckoning coming for people like you, because you have blood on your hands. You have unnecessarily killed so many people using these protocols that you're trying to push on me now and my wife. Because I knew that if they separated my wife from that baby, wow, and I wasn't with her, they were going to give her some sort of they wanted to give her some sort of a sedative to, quote unquote, ease her breathing pain. Mm. Which then would have made her numb. Worst thing you want to do when you're trying to work on your breathing. And then that would have meant they would have put her on a ventilator.
So, Pastor, listen, we're dying to know. The baby okay?
Baby was beautiful. Baby was born 6+ pounds. A couple of days early, baby was beautiful. The moment the baby was born, as I said, my wife started doing better. When we went into the room, Coach, every time I put that baby on my wife's chest, they were nursing. As God designed, my wife's oxygen level would go up 3-4 points every time. I wish I could videotape it, but I couldn't because she was obviously nursing. But God, the way God designed it, baby wow. healed mom. God healed both of them. And but final, very, very quick part of the story, my fight wasn't over yet. Because while we won the victory for my wife, and they're making plans to hopefully get her home with oxygen, because she's just miraculously improving so quickly from the pneumonia without the remdesivir, they didn't decide that they're going to do all these tests on my baby because she's a preemie, because she's 2 days early of 37 weeks. So they come in, we want to do a COVID test on the baby. What? Why are you doing a COVID test on a baby? I refused. Well, you're going to have to sign an AMA against medical advice. First time they threatened me with calling child services. Well, we're going to have to involve social services. So I said, okay, you know, that's not where I said, how do you do it? Well, you know, it's a little swab. Okay. Then they want to do a 48-hour one. I said, no, forget that. They want to do a put the child in the car.
They were kidnapping your child, right? Kidnapped.
That's what I want to tell you is that their attitude was, you don't own your child. We do. And you know, a car seat test, all this stuff. Three times when I refused their test, they were going to call social services on me as a father of six, And the third time I told them, I have a lawyer waiting. They were already ready to do an injunction up front. If you don't let us out of this hospital with my wife, me, and my daughter, you are going to have an injunction against you. We're leaving, and thank God the Lord orchestrated that. But when I left that hospital, it was like we escaped a concentration camp. Mm. We escaped prison, and we escaped death.
But folks, listen, don't miss this, folks. And Pastor, I'm going to open it up because I know people have a lot of questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Number one, the scriptures tell us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And brother, you went in there armed with the truth, didn't you? You went in there.
Yes, sir.
How many times a day do you suppose they get a guy like you in there that really knows what's going on, right?
Because
we bow to doctors, right? Oh, yes. We bow to doctors. Yes. They know, right?
Yes.
And you had done the research and they weren't going to pull that wool over your eyes. What a story, brother. What a story. If they'd had their way, they'd have put you. Yes, right. They'd have done that to your wife. They'd have taken the baby, and you don't know if she'd have ever come out of there because we find out.
I believe, Coach Dave, I believe that the Lord put on my heart there was key moments where I knew this was her life and potentially the life of my daughter, but this was her life.
Folks, listen, folks. You need to get a power of attorney over your wife, over your children, and likewise over you. Because as you said, Pastor, that's really even though it didn't initially work, that's really the only saving grace. And when your wife, if she's knocked out, there ain't nobody advocating for her. She can't answer, right? She can't answer.
That's right.
And so even though you said down in Tennessee, you're able to have a verbal power of attorney, they didn't want to hear that, did they?
They didn't want to hear that. They were not happy with it, but it slowed their agenda down because when they had come into the triage, they were already wanting to do, you know, give her medication. And I said, no, from now on, everything goes through me, even though I'm sitting outside the hospital. So please, folks, understand one of the things we want to advocate and we're talking about with our health group here, our wellness group, is make sure you have a plan. So we obviously, if you think you're getting this thing, get on the protocol early. I'm sure Coach, you're doing there.
Oh yeah. We're on the protocol.
You're on the protocol.
Well, some lugheads on here still won't do it, but most of us are on it.
Right? Yeah. But we've identified, Freedom pharmacies in our area that, will fill the prescriptions of our Freedom doctors and nurse practitioners that will, do, telecalls and will assess people very quickly. We can even get people oxygen at home. So there's things you can do to stay out. As long as you get on the protocol, make sure that, again, you're working on your immunity, you're praying over your family, over your health, because it is a sad moment where we have to fear going into the hospital. But I saw it firsthand. I saw the spirit. It is not righteous. Yes, there are some good people still in the system, but this is a demonic order now. And the Lord is calling us to a divine order, but we got to, while we're in this thing, we're still in Babylon and we're dealing with this stuff, be equipped. So have advocates that you can back you up, have people that can come to your rescue, get your, as Coach said, get your medical power of attorney in order. In a lot of states, you have to have it written. So you got to have a copy with you. So that when your loved one goes into the hospital, like in my situation where they wouldn't let me even go into the ambulance, have it with them so they can present that so that Amen. They don't get them accidentally or not accidentally intentionally give them on some drug that you know sedates them and now they can't think for themselves.
Okay, Pastor, you've set a record this morning. You've gone 40 minutes without me letting somebody ask a question.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
That is a record, brother.
I'm sorry.
But the story's been fascinating. Let's dive into some of these here real quickly, okay? It says Dr. Paul Weinberg. I don't know if it's – are you really a doctor, Paul? Come on in.
I play one on TV.
I figured it was you. That's who I figured it was. Go ahead, Vinny.
So here we go. So, Pastor, the reason why they kept moving the goalposts and why they kept getting so angry – it's because you did not give in to their fear, or you did not submit. That made them more crazy than anything else, brother.
It's a spirit, boom. Brother. Huh? It's a spirit. You challenged that spirit. Didn't like it very well. Good point there, Vinny. Naomi, come on in then, Mark.
So I appreciate you being an advocate for your wife, Pastor, because my own health experience shows you have to have a knowledgeable, educated advocate. And I have also, we buried a friend over a spider bite who went into the hospital immediately and was given all kinds of things, just like what they were trying to do with your wife, hallucinative drugs and stuff like that. 10 weeks later, we buried him. He did not have an advocate. It is so important to be educated and have that advocate right there. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. By the way, Pastor, I just want you to make a – we have sodomites who try to come in here every once in a while. They don't have the courage to come on and stand up and show us their face. Right. So sometimes they'll just try to tap in and talk. They're all cowards. Mm. Every one of them are cowards. That's the way they fight. So if this guy had any courage, he would jump in there and have a real discussion with this. But he's been given over to a reprobate mind. Mark Trump, come on in. Then Susan following him.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for bringing this to us, Pastor. And it paints a picture. I'm thinking about my children. Do they have the ability to do this? No. Does my parents? No. Do I? No. And you've got lessons learned, things you could have done better. And we all may have a car accident tomorrow, or we all may have a pregnancy and birth. This is what I was talking about. When are we going to go to the hospital and how do we do it? This is exactly what we needed, Coach. I'm just so thankful you brought it here. Thank you.
So Pastor Hayden, if you had it all over again, you probably would love to have had a power of attorney in your hand when the emergency squad came right at the very beginning, right?
I would have, exactly. That's the one thing that I would have done differently, is had that medical power of attorney. Maybe the other thing would have been have a much franker conversation with our midwife, for example, to find out why the moment that someone's labeled COVID, they just not want to touch them. That was very, very frustrating, because we have to have people who understand what's going on and not walk in fear. And that's what I saw from those people. But yes, you're absolutely right with that.
Amen. Amen. Susan, come on in, and Clay.
This is not new. This is not COVID creation. The health system has been demonic from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's Asclepius, and it's counterfeit of Jehovah Rapha. Mm-hmm. And this is not a new thing.
With their pharmacology and all that. But folks, if you've been listening to the show at all, you know that Mark Trump and some of us have discussed the idea of first truth. First truth. Once you believe something, once you have been taught that the government is on your side, once you've been taught that the doctors are there to take care of you, right? It is almost impossible to shake that out of somebody's head, no matter how much evidence you present to them. And that's really what we're dealing with. I cannot believe, Pastor, this is, I probably should have asked you before, but I would assume that you guys weren't standing up in Patriot churches encouraging people to go out and take the jab, right? You weren't telling people, hey, it's up to you, whatever. That's not the position you guys took, was it?
No, that's not the position. In fact, we were very clear that our ministry, because, I'm the teaching pastor at Patriot Church, but I have another ministry that's called Truth and Love Ministry, which I've been leading for the last 11 years, really for these days that we're in, that we're commanded to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, not be like little children easily tossed about by waves by every wave of doctrine and scheming and trickery of men and so forth and so on. But in our ministry, we had actually put out a religious exemption letter because so many people were asking me. I was so grieved by how many people said, hey, our church won't even touch this. They won't help us through the jab, yep. we're losing our job. So in that exemption letter and from the pulpit, I was very clear that this is a violation of the temple of the Holy Spirit. To take this jab Amen. Is a violation of the temple of the Holy Spirit for multiple reasons, including the fact that it alters, we know the gene therapy, we know the alteration of anything that would alter the divine order of how God created you should be a no-brainer. But when you got people like Franklin Graham and the Gospel Coalition and Robert Jeffers and people, Robert Jeffers comes out and says, you shouldn't even have a religious exemption. When they're pushing all of the evangelicals and the Gospel Coalition, Coach, I go back to the church, I go back to the pulpits, and I go back to the failure. The lack of knowledge is directly squarely on the shoulder of the pastors, or really those who are hirelings. John 10, the hirelings are the ones who are leading us into this place of lack of knowledge, because our pulpit, we've been very clear where we stand. We've been very clear in exposing the genesis of these jabs, the agenda of the jabs. I was one of those people in February of 2020, because I had studied Event 201. I had studied the agenda. I had known what they were doing and what this was all about, that we had studied and said, look, this is all about control. It's not about health. And so forth and so on. So to your point, and I'll turn it back, we need more people to stand up and say, look, we're not condemning anybody that decided to get the shots, because I guess ultimately that's their decision. But we were very clear that we are encouraging people, please don't get it. Don't go there. Don't pollute yourself. Amen. Don't risk this. And did you see that video? I saw you guys were kind of promoting that video.
Yeah.
When you see that video, when you see the reactions that no one's talking about, why? When they're talking about now shooting up five-year-olds, this
God help us.
Absolute demonic agenda. And where is the body of Christ? There is a remnant like what you have. God bless you guys. Praise God for the remnant. But the biggest problem is within the church when we have these people advocating for this system. It's an antichrist system. It's ultimately an antichrist system.
Pastor, are you a daily listener to Coach Dave Live, brother? Because you're singing our song here. Clay, come on in, then Bobby, then Sam.
Good morning, team. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Clay.
Thank you for sharing your testimony with us. I think it's important for everybody to hear this. And I got to thinking we probably ought to say a prayer today for that nurse that was helping you.
Amen to that.
Sometime, because she's gonna probably receive some pushback from her employers, you know, once this starts going around.
Well, Lord, we ask you right now that you would cover that nurse, yeah. Lord Jesus.
Yes,
just Lord. Cover her. No weapon formed against her today is going to prosper, Lord. No, yes, Lord. No recourse, nothing at work, Lord. We just pray that you reward her for her faithfulness. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father. And I was just wondering, in your opinion, Sharon, do you think it would have helped to have a team outside the hospital and people calling the hospital? Is that what we need when we have somebody in the hospital like that?
Yes, yes, yes. I think that if you have that community, which thank God I did. So we had a team on standby. Had they separated us, had they refused to, let's say, discharge my wife or my child, we had a team on standby. We had at least 50 people that would have probably been
Amen.
In the hospital in an hour. With signs, with protesting,
Amen.
On the media. So yes, we got to advocate for each other. We got to be in that community together. Because as the gal shared, we cannot allow people to unnecessarily die. This is on our watch, and I was already fired up before our own experience.
Yeah.
But now I'm an extra level of fire.
You're your brother's keeper, Pastor. Amen. Bobby Lee, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm glad you were able to avoid foster care. I mean, they wanted that baby.
Boy,
they really did. And that would have created an ongoing nightmare that yes. I don't know if you can imagine or not.
Bobby's a former child care worker child service worker.
I was very concerned about that because that's what the very first time they threatened me with calling social services, I called the friend of mine who had the lawyer on standby. And that's what they were telling me that look, if they do this, they're going to try to take the child into socials.
Wicked. The gunslinger. Come on in.
Hey, Sharam, I got a question about the Patriot Ministry. But first, let's start with a good preacher joke. Do you know what ambulance drivers and firemen have in common?
I don't.
Both of them are cops. That's the answer. But, I don't know when everybody is going to learn that they're dealing with government agents, for starters.
Right.
You take your child by the hand and take them down to the school, you are releasing them
great point, into custody Sam.
Of government agents.
Yes.
This is the new Gulag archipelago. It's the schools. It's the school buses. It is the hospital. It is the medical provider. And while in Nazi Germany, barbed wire and attack dogs were the symbols of oppression, I say today, it's the yellow school bus. This is the signal that you're dealing with people that are above the law. And we need to stay completely away from it. And if you want to know where to find a real devil worshiping witchcraft Satanist that does sacrifice, you can look at the first two rows of your corner church. And if you can't find one there, go to the firehouse or look for a nurse. And you will find a Satanist faster than you even know what happened. So, okay, that's my commentary. I have a quick question, though, about the Patriot movement. By the way, in Tennessee, I had a really good talk with your son and looked over all your books and had him teach me how to pronounce your name. And you got a fine gentleman in your oldest or second son. I'm not sure which one it was. And I really liked what you had to say in your books. Of course, I was too poor to buy any of them, but I did look them over there. The poor missionaries read a lot of books in the bookstore or standing in the foyer. So my question is this. I have found that this movement has a lot of Nicolaitan preachers in it. There are a lot of preachers around that believe that everybody out there is duty-bound to submit to them in the Babylonian model. And they're the ones that are then going to turn around and teach people how to supposedly be free. And so aside from our firehouses and our medical establishment and our schools, I've found that the Babylonian systems of this oppressive world are in our churches and even in the Patriot churches. And my question to you is, how can a Patriot pastor teach people to be free believers and to stand up for their rights when they're at the same time keeping their entire congregation under their thumb?
Sam, welcome to the team, brother. Good one for you there, Pastor. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a great point. And I think that we have to be on guard for that. I agree with you 100% that if they're claiming to be Patriot pastors, and even if I'm guilty of that, and yet they would preach a doctrine of total submission, unquestioned submission to church leadership, then I agree with you. They are then speaking out of both sides of their mouth.
Tyranny comes in many forms, doesn't it, Pastor?
That's right. So we believe, obviously, in biblical leadership, but we believe that we're all to be within godly counsel, and we have to reason. We have to test everything by the word, and need to make sure that we are not putting a pastor on a pedestal. And I agree with you. I've seen other pastors that are very much in the Patriot movement, even though they may not be quote unquote a Patriot church, because obviously we have other churches that we affiliate with and we partner with that are not called Patriot Church, but they're of the same like-minded heart. But yet I do agree with you that I think they carry with them an air of, hey, I'm
in charge.
I'm in charge. So I agree with you. That's a great point, and one that we have to be very careful about.
Tyranny comes in many forms. Reggie. Can't hear you, Reg. I don't hear you, Reggie. Lisa, come on in while Reggie figures it out. Go ahead, Lisa.
Is this me?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know if I was a registered member. But anyway,
a
couple things. I don't know if how many people ever go on Frank's speech. They have, you know, when you scroll down, there's a video from a Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Yes.
She has a video, it says, On the Truth About Cancer with Brandon House, and it's from October 26th. So she, you know, has, like you said, my people are destroyed by the lack of knowledge. For, you know, grandmother and mother, I've been, you know, the last 3-4 weeks just constantly trying to get information, trying to get, you know, people on Frank's speech, because I, you know, there's just so much information there that we need to know. But recently my two granddaughters had the flu shot, little ones. And she says that they're injecting cancer cells into our
Well, Lisa, just tune in here every morning, Lisa, because we cover all that stuff. I promise
you. I've been with you for about a week, but if we're not supposed to take another shot, not one.
No. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as I said yesterday, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. You would not walk into church and have a bowel movement on the carpet, right? And that's what we do when we inject stuff into our bodies. Thank you, Lisa. Come on, Larry, and then Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Gerald, Coach. Pastor, you know, I've heard what you said, and man, you don't know how much you're singing our song, like Coach said, and I'm on board with you. I just have one favor I would ask of you. Please, in the future, when you start talking about the church, make a differentiation between the church believers of God, you know, that are brothers and sisters, children of God, and those satanic social clubs led by people who have been taught lies and are preaching lies. They may even have the word church in the name of their organization, but they are not churches. And as long as we refer to them as churches, that will reinforce the general concept around the country that they're churches. Well, they're not. They're satanic.
Well, they're churches. They're not Christian churches, Larry. They're gatherings. The church is a gathering. Jeff, come on in. I'm with you. Jeff, then Rochelle.
Coach, I just want to let the pastor know that's refreshing to hear what he's had to say. And his message is great. Just be the church. Go into that hospital room. That's like we did with Ricky. We prayed over that intensive care unit. We prayed with nurses. We'd go out to the hospital station, 7-8 nurses sitting around there, and say, ladies, can we pray with you before we leave today? And, buddy, they're like, yeah.
So Pastor Hayden, I want you to know this. Jeff here, the guy that's speaking right now, he took his friend in. His friend went into the hospital. They gave him 0% chance of living. 0% chance. Wow. Jeff and his pastor would not leave his side. And brother, they wouldn't let him kill him. They wouldn't let him kill him, and he's alive today. Bless you, Jeff. Trying to hurry here. Rochelle, come in, then Myra.
I'll go quick. Good morning, team. Wow, Pastor, it sounds to me like you saved your wife and your family for being intact. You also sound very well studied in what's relevant and going on for today. And I think we'd all love to hear your plans, if you've thought them through, on what, as Christians, we should be doing to stop this evil from being injected into our children, because I dread judgment. I feel like this is child sacrifice.
Amen. Let me jump in here real quick, Pastor, before you do. We got a couple minutes left.
Yes, sir.
I think the gospel gunslinger nailed it. When you send your kids to the school, you're sending them to the government. When you put them in the hospital, you're sending them to the government. Everywhere we look, the government is in control of everything, and the government is Luciferian beast system. We got to come out of that thing. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, I agree 100%. I would say, as far as our children are concerned, Rochelle, the very first thing is we need to pray to pull them out. Got to get them out of the system. There are still so many professing Christians who say, look, you know, we're praying for our school system. We got teachers in there. Yeah, maybe in some of the rural areas that you still have some decent schools. But the system itself, just like the hospital system, you may have some decent people, but the system itself is now a corrupted demonic order.
Amen.
And that's why we're advocating for, we need to have professing churches, and I love the point of Larry. We need to have those professing churches, that remnant, start up Christian schools.
Yes, sir. Real quickly, Debbie Perkins, former hospital administrator. Come on in, Debbie.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly
all those things, that it is a system. And both my parents have passed, and my mother looked at me one day and she said, I'm here still because you're my advocate, and you have been here every single day. And you need to have somebody that knows the system, that knows who to go to, that knows the way to the administrator's door, the director of nursing's door.
That's right. And
that's you've got to know the people, but you're 100% on target.
Folks, listen, we got to run here. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, some of you come in here every day and we give you information. You're still not taking a protocol to be safe. You still don't have a power of attorney over your medical issue. What are you guys waiting for? Never going to come to your door. Is that what you think? Well, I'm sure Pastor Hayden thought that same thing. Never going to come to our door. And brother, that dude came knocking at your door, didn't he, Pastor?
Yes,
so
sir.
God bless you for being with us today. We'll do this again. In fact, folks, I'm going to have him on my show, my Brideon show on Monday as well. So we'll get after then. Hey, God bless y'all. Have a great weekend. The goblins and the demons are out. Keep saying those imprecatory psalms, and we'll see you on Monday morning.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless.